If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
The first six notes of We've Only Just Begun.
No, you said you weren't going to do that.
I couldn't help it.
Well, don't give me any
Sean
of this.
Connery.
Nobody's going to get this, but go ahead. Keep asking it.
And welcome to Trivia Friday. It is Friday, June 19th, 2026, in case you're wondering. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined by J.J. Jasper. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning. Father's Day this coming Sunday. And there is a new dad with his wife. They were in the baby's room and the wooden crib looking down at that newborn baby. And he was just saying, amazing, incredible. And he was shaking his head from side to side saying, how amazing. And his wife put her arm around him and was just saw the wonder in his eye. And she whispered in his ear and said, a penny for your thoughts. He said, this is real wood. How can anybody make a crib like this and sell it for only $89? Men and women are different.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Dads, thank you for how you protect, provide, and lead. We hope you enjoy your special day on Sunday.
Amen. Bert Harper is in the house.
It's good to be with you guys. I was just saying, I love to substitute. I admire you guys that do this every Friday with all the questions. Yeah, you know.
I was going to say it's a little bit of a struggle to get questions, but I will say this. I do get folks who will send in sample questions, and I can't always reconfigure them to make it a simple enough kind of question, but we do have people that help us out.
Well, amen.
John helps us out a little bit, and a faithful listener. But, Brother Bert, these guys can speak for themselves. I'm amazed that we get paid for this. This is so much fun. Now, right. My jaws and my ribs hurt, and I feel like sometimes I should get combat pay or hazard pay for how we just laugh and cut up. But we're glad you're going to be here, hopefully, with an Andy Griffith question.
I do. That's one of the things I said. If I did this every week, I would not do the Andy Griffith question every week.
Because
you got to get one that's kind of known, and you can go too far in the weeds, and nobody.
Even for fans of the show, you can get so down into the weeds.
What was the shares? What was the car's tag number?
Yes.
And stuff like that. No, I'm not that big on it.
Well, JJ, tell our listeners, if someone's tuning in for the first time, they're saying, what in the world's Trivia Friday? Tell us what that is. What are we doing here?
Today's issues, Monday through Thursday, all of the authors and politicians and preachers and newsmakers and the current events, and it's hard-hitting and sometimes heavy. Well, Friday, we just let our hair down, and it's mostly entertainment, but, oh, by the way, we actually learned some things. This is a trivia show where we each ask three questions. We invite you to call in, answer our trivia question, and then pose one of your own. So we have a whole lot of fun, and, oh, just to sweeten the kitty, one of these original nine questions is the mystery question. If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell.
Beloved.
And that means you'll win yourself a newly designed, brand new Learning University t-shirt. If you're watching, Brother Bert is holding the t-shirt. How can people watch as well as listen, Ed?
Yeah, you can watch on our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net, or you can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues or Today's Issues Live. I think it may be Today's Issues Live on Facebook. But you can watch the show. Now, if you'd like to take a look at the t-shirt and maybe buy one, you can do that. You can go to resources.com. t-shirts.afa.net, resources.afa.net. There's more than t-shirts there. There's all kinds of great resources for your walk and for prepare for teaching your kids and preparing yourself for culture war debates, all those kinds of things at resources.afa.net. Now, we do ask that you be 11 years old or older to call in to be here on the program with us. We ask you also if you have been on the air with us over the last 2 months, the last 8 weeks, that you wait a week so that others can get in. Here's the number to call if you want to be on the program, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Well, Brother Bert, you go ahead and give your questions first. Then I will give mine. Then JJ will end the that portion of it, and then we'll get to the phones.
Well, I'm ready. I've gotten stuck into the Andrew Griffith, and I enjoy it. But you
we
know,
do too.
Okay, here it is. What is the name of the real life bluegrass band whose members portray the Darlings?
That's a great question.
What is the name of the real life? They were a real bluegrass band who members portray the Darlings. That they learned their lines really well, don't you think?
You know, they were already a good bluegrass band, but being on Andy Griffith caused them to go viral, if you will, before viral was a thing. But that really put them on the map.
It did. Okay, my Bible question. What is the first prophecy in the Bible? The Bible's filled with prophecies, but there's one that's the very first one. What is it? Okay? You'd say, what is it and where it is.
Good.
I guess it is, too. And then this one. What is the difference in a graveyard and a cemetery?
Mm.
There is a difference.
I guess not to the person who's in it, but
yeah. Well, you know, do you know they will not bury somebody in certain cemeteries that lives in Arkansas? Do you know why?
No.
If they're living in Arkansas, they're not dead yet.
Oh.
Way to go, Red.
You should have left that for, you should have left that for a question, a little riddle kind of thing.
That's right.
Is that three?
That's my three.
Okay, three. All right, here are my three. First, the ancient Greek poet Homer wrote about the Trojan War in what two famous books? Some of you probably read one or both of these in high school. The ancient Greek poet Homer wrote about the Trojan War in what two famous books? All right, now I promise, since this was the 250th anniversary of our country, that consecutive weeks I'm going to have questions about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So here's this week's question. The Fifth Amendment requires grand jury indictments and due process, protects against double jeopardy, and regulates government seizure of private property. What famous right have I left out? What famous right have I left out? The Fifth Amendment requires grand jury indictments and due process, protects against double jeopardy, and regulates government seizure of private property. What famous right have I left out? And I'll just give you a little hint. If you ever watch Law and Order, you should know this.
There you go.
All right, and then my third question. The first modern grocery store opened in America in 1916. And by modern, I mean self-serve. You walk around, pick up your own stuff.
Here's the deal. By modern, you mean that out of the four wheels, one of them don't work on the buggy, on the shopping cart.
Yeah.
It goes a little bit, it's a little wonky, and kind of goes all off by its own self.
That is a fact. Or it'll just squeak and just drive you crazy. The first modern grocery store opened in America in 1916. What was it? I'm going to make this a multiple choice.
Oh, that's easier.
Was it Piggly Wiggly, Trader Joe's, Safeway, or Acme? The first modern grocery store opened in America in 1916. What was it? Piggly Wiggly, Trader Joe's, Safeway, or Acme?
I see the ad right now with the Roadrunner and the Coyote telling about that new supermarket that's debuted.
All right, was that all for
that's
you?
That's it.
Here's what I've got. I'm going to have a lot of dad questions. Again, happy Father's Day. Thank you, dads, for being a wonderful role model and being a good example. And I've never met a parent, a dad or a mom, that felt like they were adequate. We just all sure. feel like, man, I could be a better dad. I could do a better job. Same with moms, but dads, we just want to say thank you again Amen. For being the leader and the protector and provider for your family. Here's what I've got. Bible question. Who was the father of Jacob and Esau? Who was the father of Jacob and Esau? Second question, for mainly for dads or for men, the 283, talking about cubic inch engine, the 283, 327, and 350 were common engines for what vehicle brand? Hmm. The 283, the 327, the 350, I could add 427, 396, but they were common engines for what vehicle brand? Third question, true or false, a porcupine's teeth are blue. Is that true or false? And, you know, we've gone probably our whole life and not really thought about porcupine teeth. Today is the day.
Well, I got to say, I checked one time just to find the answer to that question.
Right.
It did not end well.
It didn't
appreciate it.
And that explains why you've only got four fingers on one hand.
That's right.
Hey, again, the porcupine, true or false, the porcupine's teeth are blue, true or false?
All right, let's go, Brother Bert.
Okay, in Alabama, it is Deborah. Deborah, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, esteemed professors. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
You well, you want to ask, so answer, or both?
I want to do both.
Okay, go right ahead. Pick your question that you want to answer.
Well, I was going to do your third question, Bert, but then I said, I'm not sure if that's the same question or the answer that I had heard a long time ago. So I decided to go with JJ's question, who's the father of Jacob and Esau?
Right out of the Bible, here's the question again, Deborah. Who was the father of Jacob and Esau?
It was Isaac.
Nicely
Let
done.
It go.
Now, see, I get those mixed up sometimes, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the different ones. So thank you for reading your Bible and knowing the Word. Deborah, what's your question for us?
Let's see. How many people in the Bible were saved by an ark?
Okay,
saved
a little bit
an ark.
A little bit of
talk amongst ourselves.
That's
here,
right.
Deborah. Don't say
That's
yes
right.
or no. Okay.
Eight in Noah's and Moses' ark would be nine. Is there anybody else?
See the ark. Somebody helped us with that because that was an ark. That boat with that pitch that was lined. You know, was lined with tar. The pitch.
Yeah. Okay. Where are we leaving anything out?
I think there's one more that somebody said a few months ago, and I
think
can't
the question
remember.
Was how many arcs were in the Bible. So then, the Ark of the Covenant was made.
Oh, that's
three.
What it was. All right, let's go with
nine.
Here,
it's nine. Be nine.
I think it's nine.
But how many were saved by an ark?
Okay, yeah. Deborah, we're going to go with nine.
Right, you're right. Woo! Totally
wow.
right.
The references. Hey, now look, this is a great way to start the show. Deborah came right out of the chute, had a correct answer, and the panel, we came through.
Yes.
Our Brother Bert.
We're on a roll.
Came through for the
we
team.
We got one in a row.
One in a row. That's
one in a row.
That's a roll for us.
Deborah, thank you for having for listening to AFR, and I'm going to ask you, did you have a good dad growing up?
I did. I had a wonderful dad.
The Lord's been.
And I got a better father right now.
Amen. Well, listen, thank you again for listening to AFR. Have a great weekend.
Amen. Let's go to Virginia. And in Virginia, it is Mark. Mark, thank you for calling.
Hello, professors.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark. This is a Birdman, right? I probably call you that every time, Mark.
What is your favorite bird? Is that what it is?
No, he has birds, budgies, I think, right?
Yes.
In the background.
We have budgies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great.
Hey, Mark, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Both, please.
Which one you want to answer?
The Andy Griffith Show one, please.
Here we go.
Okay, here it is. Straight, man, that took on, didn't have to wait long. What is the name of the real-life bluegrass band whose members portray the Darlings?
The Dillards.
Woo!
Way to go, Mark.
That is it.
Everyone's on a hot streak.
Mark, are you a bluegrass music fan or an Andy Griffith fan?
Well, an Andy Griffith Show fan.
Way to go.
Good.
May our tribe increase.
Yes.
Hey, now, Paul Darling was not a member of the Dillards.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, he just threw the jug in for fun.
Yes, you know, there you go.
He wasn't a member. It was the boys.
Yeah,
he was an actor. The dad was.
All right, Mark, what's your question for us?
Okay. And so what is an idiophone?
Did he say idio or idiot?
I may have an idiot phone or an idiot.
Not a smartphone.
An idiophone.
Idio.
All right. Now, wait a second. Okay, Mark, we're going to talk amongst ourselves. Now, he did say, you said idio, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is this not one of those phones that will... It's got to have something to do with transcribing something.
That's what I was thinking. Idio.
Yeah. Is it maybe for somebody that's like hearing impaired or something? Yeah.
It must transcribe or something like that.
I think that's the best answer we'd come up with.
That's the only thing I can think of.
And I know we're all over the place. A lot of people take a book to the beach in the summer. I have been reading a mystery novel in Braille. And at one point, Brother Bert, I just knew something bad was going to happen. I could just feel it.
What's that sound? That's what I heard.
All right,
we're
going to say something about what?
Guys, yeah, there's
hearing
something that transcribes.
Are connected to Braille, sight impaired. What? How close are we, Mark?
Well, you can decide that. So an idiophone is a musical instrument, a type of musical instrument that produces sound only by vibration.
Oh. Huh.
Okay.
All right, is it good vibrations?
I understand the...
Good vibrations, yeah.
I understand the fact that we were way off, okay, but... But I don't know if we are. I'm not understanding how this instrument work, a musical instrument. It only produces sound. Say that again.
Okay, it only produces sound by vibration and not by airflow or strings or membranes or anything else like that.
Here's the deal.
Yeah, you can see it in marimbas. And xylophones.
Xylophones belong to this type of instrument.
Here's the deal. I accidentally, the only ticket I had was right there on the front row at a rock concert, and them big old speakers taller than me said all that to say this. My pancreas is an inch and a half farther over than it used to be. Them were not good vibrations. My whole body felt that concert.
All right, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Well done, brother. Appreciate it.
Yes.
I didn't hear the birds this time. He must have been in a different room.
Okay. We got time. Okay, in Mississippi, it is Haywood. Haywood, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to everybody, all you professors.
Well, thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Same to you, Haywood. Thank you.
Listen, JJ's got us beat in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And for some of us that have no girls, quality too.
Yes.
three boys.
That is a quality family.
Yeah,
I will say that.
You got three boys, Ed, a son and a daughter.
Yep.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine had one of each, and I asked if he and his wife, being nosy, I said, are you going to have any more kids? He said, well, I got one of each. He said, if the Lord comes up with something else, we'll have another baby.
Yeah.
And then I've got seven. So excited. Five daughters and two boys.
Amen.
Haywood, thank you for that wish. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'd like to do both.
Well, which question comes to your mind that you want to take a stab at?
Well, I'm going to take the easy one. The 283-350.
Hey, that might not be easy. A lot of people don't love cars like you and I do, Haywood. So here's the question. The 283, 327, 350, I could add 305 or 427. They were common engines for what vehicle brand, Haywood?
The Bowtie Chevrolet.
Yes, sir. Ooh, yeah. Yes, sir. Those are Chevy motors. And see, you had like the Chevy had a 283. Well, the Ford had a 289. And you had things like the Chevy, when you got real big into muscle cars, our police interceptors, they had a 427. I think, Haywood, didn't Ford have a 428 or a 429? But you
429.
Had some, yeah, you had some different cubic inch engines back in the day. But
327s were awesome, man.
327, those were in Impalas. I had a Chevelle Malibu Supersport. It had a 283. Absolutely bulletproof. All my buddies had 327s, every kind of Nova, every kind of Impala, talking about, you know, 70 model.
Oh, man.
In 350, it was the standard in cars and trucks, Chevys, for many, many, for decades. And, again, it's just one of the best engines ever made.
You wanted the one that I got rid of, a Nova, 66 Nova, 327, four-barrel carburetor, four in the floor.
Oh, my goodness,
well,
Brother
the good thing about those cars is the computer never went out and left you stranded.
That's exactly
with the $2,000 repair.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Haywood, you got it, buddy. And what's your question for us?
Okay, going back to Mayberry. True or false, Ron Howard and Don Knotts were cousins. Is that true or false?
You know, the way he said that, I want to say yes, but it's just a guess.
Read several books, but I didn't come across that.
You would have come across that,
It
huh?
sounds so specific, I want to say yes
I
as
know.
Well.
I'm guessing, and I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes.
And I'll say no.
And you'll say no, so we're covered.
One of us is going to get it right.
That's right. We got our,
what
our
is
faces
it, Haywood?
Covered.
Well, it's absolutely true.
Oh, really?
They were cousins.
Cousins.
Well, I'll
how,
be.
How? Now, listen, in here in Northeast Mississippi, you know, after you've gone two generations away, you're all right. So, I don't know about Mayberry.
How close a cousin were they?
How close a cousin were
they? We talking second cousin twice removed? What are we talking about there, Haywood?
Yeah, how far back do they go to be cousins, Haywood?
Well, the biography states that Don Knotts had an aunt named Lucinda Knotts who was married to Ron Howard's father. So that made Don Knotts fifth cousin to Ron Howard.
Okay, see, that doesn't count
fifth,
in my
fifth cousin. I'm going to be honest. I'm 67 years old. To this day, I don't know how you determine cousins.
Yeah,
you know, like what's a second cousin, third cousin. I don't know how that works.
Well, like Alex,
I mean, I agree. I'm not questioning Haywood here.
Well, like Alex McFarland says, we're all cousins, Adam and Eve. So,
eventually,
yeah, so we could true could be true with anyone.
Our people came over on the boat on Noah's Ark.
Haywood,
Haywood.
Anytime you can add to our knowledge of Andy Griffith, it's a good day, brother.
That's right.
Amen. Love it. Okay. We're gonna take our
break right here, and you're listening to Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano, JJ Jasper, Bert Harper.
You know, you were saying some nice things about our family. Two of my daughters, Maddie and Casey James, they're on a plane right now on their way to Africa. I would appreciate the prayers. Flying to Ethiopia, then over to Nairobi, then Kajabi, Africa. First time my daughter, 15-year-old daughter Casey James, has been out of the country. Going to be a trip of a lifetime.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maddie and Casey James on a flight right now. They just left Atlanta, headed to Ethiopia, and then over to Africa.
Amen. Folks, be praying for them. They're going for a short trip and then coming back. Pray for safety and pray for a blessed trip. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with more Trivia Friday in just a few minutes.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Years ago, I wrote a letter to my father. He was alive then. And I shared some thoughts with him. I'd like to share that with you today. Dear Daddy, once every year they have a special day for fellows like you. They call it Father's Day. And on that day, we children are supposed to honor you. Somehow that just doesn't seem right. Oh, not that you shouldn't be honored, you deserve that, but that we should have a special day to do it. Somehow I have an idea that every day is, for fathers like you, a Father's Day. For every day, folks like myself go through life, make decisions, pass judgments, and in general, live out our lives on principles that our fathers taught us. Often I think about what would have happened to me if I'd ever started looking at the bottle to solve some of my problems. I know many people who have. They used to say that one person in every 16 who drinks becomes an alcoholic. The figure's probably a little higher now. But I don't have to worry about becoming an alcoholic for the simple reason you taught me not to drink. I remember very clearly when I was but a youngster asking you about drinking. You told me that you never did. That solved the thing for me then and there. If you didn't drink, then I knew I shouldn't either. I sincerely try to treat people fair and honest, to treat them as I would like to be treated. In other words, I try to apply the golden rule to my life. Where did I learn this? Not so much from my Sunday school teacher or preacher as from you. Oh, I know, you never set me down and made me memorize it. But I learned it as I saw you practice it in your daily life. And memorizing it wouldn't have helped much unless I saw you practicing it. You never gave us children much money for the simple reason you didn't have much to give. You would have given us your last penny if we had needed it. I know that. But you gave us something worth many times over the value of money. You gave us a good name. I've always been proud to carry a part of your name. I do so with head held high. Seems that I remember somewhere in the good book it says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. I believe that. As I grow older in years, I grow continually more thankful for your influence on me. I cannot knowingly cheat a man or tell a lie or do any other thing which is morally wrong for the simple reason that as a growing kid, you taught me an honest, better way of living. Most folks measure success today by how high you rise or how much money you make or how powerful you are. Those criteria are false. And those persons who measure success by them are fools. The successful people are people like you. They are people who give their children real riches, spiritual riches. I have many ambitions in this life, Daddy. You know that. But ranking high on the list is this one, to be as good a father to my children as you were to yours. If I can do it, I too can be successful. Thanks for giving me a good start.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Italy in March of 2027. We're also going to Greece in March of 2027. And we're doing those tours back to back if you want to do both of them. In Italy, we'll be going to Venice, ride the gondola, and see all the sights there. And we'll go to Pisa and walk on the Leaning Tower of. If you fall off, we're not responsible. Also, we're going to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and all the catacombs. We'll see all the sights of Rome. And in Greece, it's the Footsteps of Paul trip. So the places where Paul went in the Bible mentioned in Greece. If you want information on any of these tours, go to tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13.
American Family Radio.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short a child. Khrushchev's doing Idlewild.
Car 54, where are you?
Well, since JJ had a question about cars, we thought we'd go with Car 54, Where Are You? That really does go back.
That goes way back.
Muldoon.
It was
Tootie and Fred Gwynn played.
Fred Gwynn played in the Munsters later on in his career, but this was Car 54. Where are you? I was listening to the song there, and it was talking about what was happening, and they needed the police. I was thinking, man, things have changed. Now you're talking carjackings and all kinds of stuff that's happening. Car 54, where are you? Nothing. We need the National Guard in a lot of our big cities. But anyway, let's not spoil the vibe we have going on here. It is Trivia Friday. We're here to have some fun. Ed, JJ, and Bert are your professors today. Let's reset our questions. Brother Bert, you start us off, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Our questions that have heretofore unanswered.
Heretofore gone unanswered.
That's great. What is the first prophecy in the Bible? There's one that stands out. What is the first prophecy in the Bible? And then, what is the difference in a graveyard and a cemetery? What is the difference in a graveyard and a cemetery? And I'll add one. How many states have two time zones within its borders?
Oh, wow.
And I'll give multiple choice on that one. That's kind of difficult. How many states have two time zones within its borders? 7, 14, or 21?
That's one of those numbers. All right, here are my three questions. First question, the ancient Greek poet Homer wrote about the Trojan War in what two famous books? Some of you, years ago in high school, probably had to read one or both of those. All right, second question I've promised for a while. Questions about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, since we are in our 250th anniversary as a country. And here's my question for this week. The Fifth Amendment requires grand jury indictments and due process, protects against double jeopardy, and regulates government seizure of private property. What famous right have I left out? And the hint I give is if you watch Law and Order, you've heard about this right plenty of times. And then third question, the first modern grocery store, and by that I mean self-serve, you go in and pick up your own groceries. The first modern grocery store opened in America in 1916. What was it? And this is a multiple choice, so I'll give you some choices. Was it Piggly Wiggly? Was it Trader Joe's? Safeway? Or Acme? Which one of those was it?
Here's what I've got. First question, true or false? So you got a 50-50 chance. A porcupine's teeth are blue. Is that true or false? A porcupine's teeth are blue. Second question, how many times in the Bible was a body of water parted? How many times in the Bible was a body of water parted? Third question, I've got a lot of TV dads. I don't know if I'll get to all of them. But Alan Thicke played the TV dad on Growing Pains. Name his character. Name the dad on Growing Pains.
Okay, well, let's go back to the phone. Yeah, let's go to Mississippi, and it's Jason. Jason, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
Thank y'all. Good morning to you.
Well, it's good to hear from you.
Amen. Oh, wonderful.
Love.
Yeah,
thank you, Jason.
What part of Mississippi, Jason?
Thaxton, not far from you.
Oh, hey, yeah. Hey, guess what?
Good area.
I've preached there. I was interim pastor at Thaxton Baptist Church.
Jason, for a while, right?
Yeah, for a while. So, man, love that area. Great.
That is a great area.
It is. Hey, Jason, you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'd like to do both, please.
Well, which question that you would like to answer?
I want to take a shot at Ed's Fifth Amendment question.
All right. Let me speed through this quickly, Jason. The Fifth Amendment requires grand jury indictments and due process, protects against double jeopardy, and regulates government seizure of private property. What famous right have I left out, sir?
I think you have left out the right against self-incrimination.
That is correct.
Hey, and to add to his thing, any TV show what is your thing here, answer this question, and they would say, I plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth. That's right. Hey, do you have to look that up, or you just remember a little Law and Order?
I just remember it's on basically every lawyer, Perry Mason show or whatever.
You have the right.
You have the right against self-incrimination. You know what? That is all those rights are important that we are protecting.
They have to prove you did it without you saying you did it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
here's
right.
The deal, though. I was listening closely to Ed giving all those things when it said about the government getting your property. They mentioned, didn't say anything about eminent domain. Somehow that one sort of fell through the cracks.
That issue, eminent domain. They have to give you just compensation for
it. Yeah, but I don't know how they're even able to get it because they say we need a parking lot next to the hospital.
Yeah,
our
it's
town's
abused.
Gotten so big.
Yeah.
Even though this was your great grandfather's, your grandfather's, and it's yours. We're taking it from you.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know.
You need to go down the road a mile, put that parking lot in. Don't bother me. You can do a trolley from there to the.
That's
you know.
Right.
So anyway, hey Jason, you got a question for us?
I sure do. Let's stay with the country theme, the U.S. country. I would like for you to tell me the only president in U.S. history that got the country out of debt.
So they were in debt, and then this president got them out of debt. Is that what you're saying?
We were out of debt for one whole year.
I want to say it was Ronald Reagan. Guys, what about this? We're talking about our stuff here.
I'm gonna go way back. I'm gonna say George Washington, because after the war and all that kind of thing.
Okay, so left up to me. I'll just take somebody. William Howard Taft. I don't know, man. That's an awesome question.
That is a great question. It's sad that it's only been one time.
But look, when you say William Howard Taft, I have to think, is that a baseball player, a car model, or a president?
Yeah.
I never can decide.
Well, he was president and a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, wow.
That's good. Jason, who was it?
One of my favorites, Andy Jackson.
Woo,
oh, Andrew Jackson.
Got the country out of debt.
Now, that wasn't, not Stonewall.
No, that's Andrew, the Battle of New Orleans.
Yep.
There you go.
And that put him on the map.
1835, I think, was the year.
Yeah.
He went out of office in 1836, and we've been borrowing ever since.
That is sad.
He brought more power to the presidency up to that time than any, and he may have done more change than anyone like that.
Wow.
He was
something good.
Else.
Hey, Jason, thanks for being a patriot, and thank you for listening to AFR. I'm guessing you're a dad?
Yes, sir.
How many boys, girls, how many children you have?
One daughter.
Oh, man, good for you.
Well, take care of Thaxton, Jason.
Yes, sir. God bless you, buddy.
Amen. Well, let's go to Arkansas and talk to Robert. Robert, thank you for calling today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'll do both.
Okay. Which question?
The one about the first prophecy in the Bible.
Okay, here it is. And it's the Bible question. What is the first prophecy in the Bible?
I believe that's the one from Genesis where God is... talking to Satan and telling him he'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you'll strike his heel.
Woo!
Nice done. Wow, Robert.
Genesis 3:15, and I'm not a good announcer. God calls this guy who can't announce or pronounce words to preach. That's what's funny. But it is called Prodevangelium. I've got it close. That's what it's called. Beforehand, before evangelism.
The gospel before.
The gospel before. Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
It's amazing how the Bible, from the start to the finish, people will talk about, it's just written by a bunch of Bronze Age people. But the Bible, from the start to the finish, is all interwoven and related.
I use this, Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Even in its run, and different writers, and some of the same writers, Barney can sing, Barney can't sing.
Right.
Andy Griffith owns a car, but then the rest of the time he drives the cop car. So many inconsistencies. The Bible.
Amen.
I mean, thousands of years, dozens of authors, and yet the consistency. The Word of God, and I'm going to preach just a second.
Sure.
The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
If you have
Amen.
A sword, how do you go and prove somebody it's real? Use it.
Use it.
Wow.
The Word of God.
That's good.
Hey,
it's good preaching.
Start preaching. I'm getting ready for exploring the Word, so go.
Brother Burt, 66 different books as a brand-new Christian. I had zero context. I'd start reading Ephesians. I'd read Philippians, Colossians. Wait, I just read something just like that. And I thought they were all in the same room and looking over each other's shoulders, because how one would reinforce the other, and you think, wait a minute, this one was a vineyard. This one was a physician. Luke was all these from different periods. And you're like, every bit of it is knitted together, and it flows, and it just,
Amen. Man,
there's no other book like the Bible. And we want to encourage you, please, if you're not in the habit of reading your Bible every day, it really is God-breathed, and it's life-changing.
And it's Amen. Your turn to preach, Ed.
No, listen, I want to just encourage people, a little commercial for American Family Radio. We're having a lot of fun here today. We're learning stuff, but we come from a Christian perspective. We are going to, no matter what's happening, we're going to encourage you to get in the Word, abide in Jesus Christ, and go to church and grow in the Lord.
King David said, how can a young man remain pure? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
So God's word will keep sin out of your life, or sin will keep you from picking up your Bible and reading it. But
Amen.
You'll get wisdom. God will reveal himself to you. He'll lead, guide, and direct you. If you'll carve out a little bit of time, even 5 minutes, to open your Bible and read it every day.
Robert, after all those three sermons, do you remember your question for us? Go right ahead, Robert.
Yes, sir, I do. I know y'all like to play the theme songs of some old TV shows when you come back on air sometimes, and I've heard you play the Bonanza theme song. So I'm thinking y'all may be fans of Bonanza. So my question, since Ben Cartwright, to me, is one of the best on-screen fathers to ever be on TV, he had three sons. Each son had a different mother. Can you name the name of each mother and how each one died on the show?
Oh man. They had three programs of that, of his marriage to the mother and then their death.
Let's start with Hoss, Little Joe, and what was the other one's name?
Adam. Adam was the first.
He was oldest.
I know something about it. That's when Ben was on the Atlantic Ocean. I don't remember her name, but he married her, but she died. And then on the way out west, it was Hoss's mother, and she died. And then after he got there, he went to New Orleans and met Little Joe's mother. But I don't know their name.
No, you got, though. I think we ought to get partial credit for you having the context, though. How did he do, Robert?
He did pretty fair. I can go ahead and tell you the answer.
Yes, sir. I think you're going to have to.
Yes, sir. Okay. The name of the first of Adam's mother was Elizabeth, and she died during childbirth. And Hoss's mother was named Inger, and she was shot by an Indian arrow in the back. And then Little Joe's mother was named Marie, and she died in a horse riding accident on the Ponderosa.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's good. Bonanza. Here's what it was tough being a young person when I was a kid. Back then we had training union and worship
Sunday
service.
School, yeah.
Two hours.
Yeah.
I would leave before Lassie was over, and I'd come back before Bonanza started.
that's a real challenge right there. Now,
it was.
I'm going to ask something dumb. The map burning, was that Bonanza or was that something else?
That was Bonanza.
Yep.
And the great theme music. I like with Father's Day coming up this Sunday what Robert said about him being such a good dad. It was always wise and measured and full of common sense. Robert, thank you for listening to AFR. Thanks for getting in the Word and allowing the Word to get in you.
Okay, let's go to North Carolina, and it's Rick. Rick, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call, esteemed professors. I am too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we're going to put some stress on you, okay? Which question And do you want to ask, answer, or both?
Well, I'll go back to my Episcopal liturgy. The Lord being my helper, I would like to try to do both.
Amen. Good. Which one you want to answer?
The one about the first modern grocery store.
All right, Rick, here's the question. The first modern grocery store opened in America in 1916. What was it? It is a multiple choice. Was it Piggly Wiggly, Trader Joe's, Safeway, or Acme?
That would be Piggly Wiggly, opened in 1916 in Memphis, Tennessee.
That is
nicely
correct.
Done.
That is
great.
By the way, Acme, we were kidding about this. That's an actual grocery store
chain. No way.
Yes, it is. And it's still in existence. It's a regional one.
Can you get dynamite from there?
I don't know. Or an anvil?
One or the other.
Hey, now, nicely done, Rick. Hey, before Rick asks his question for us, we've got some youth outside our window looking into the studio right now, and they're a singing group from the state of Mississippi. It's the Baptists, like an elite singing group, and so they came to do a little choir for our staff in our devotion room, and they're going across the state from Baptist church to Baptist church doing an amazing job.
And they stopped by here on the way.
Yeah, so they're waving right now through the window. So we're looking at like 25 or 30 out through the big picture
window
right
here. Yeah, right outside
our studio. Yeah.
Thank you, guys, for singing. Wished we could have heard it. Maybe they videoed it. We'll hear them.
Yeah, well, okay. Hey, what's your question for us, Rick?
Okay, well, as a lot of us are of a certain age, we can remember some of the early 60s TV shows, and one had Robert Vaughn playing the lead character Han Solo, and David McCallum played his sidekick, and he was known as the Man from U.N.C.L.E. So here's my question for the panel here. What does U-N-C-L-E stand for?
Brother Bert's going to know.
No, I know it, and it's not coming. It's in my file cabinet, but
it kind of had a little bit of James Bond way about it.
Yeah,
I can picture the...
It was a very cool show.
And the U.N.C.L.E. was spelled out with periods after it.
Yeah.
And
it stands for something.
I think he was standing there holding a pistol or something when the show came on.
But it was a special kind of pistol. And I remember my cousin, first cousin, got one for Christmas. It's kind of like when the Daniel Boone phase was in.
You could get the
coonskin cap. Yep. You could buy that pistol. And I was pretty envious of that. Wanted to get a one of my own. But I don't know if you guys.
I can't even make a. When he'll say it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. All right. What's the answer?
Well, UNCLE stood for United Network Command for Law and Enforcement.
Wow.
Okay.
Way to go, man.
Yeah. Hey, Rick.
I would have called it Uncle, too.
There you go. Hey, Rick, are you a dad?
I'm a father of three children. I've got two daughters and a son and four of the world's most beautiful granddaughters.
We believe it.
Oh, wow.
Hey, well, then you
no
enjoy your
here.
Special day on Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for listening to AFR.
Okay, thank you again. Let's go to Minnesota and talk to Liz. Liz, thank you for calling all the way from Minnesota. What part of Minnesota are you from?
South Central.
Okay, well, great. Man, that Minnesota state is in the news a lot with your a governor and all the things that's going on. So we're glad you called. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I think I'll ask and answer.
Which one you want to answer?
Well, they've taken two of them so far. Maybe about the water, how many times water was parted in the Bible?
Okay. How many times in the Bible was a body of water parted? And you're going to have to really be a Bible sniper. You're going to have to put on your thinking cap on this because a lot of people will think fewer than what actually it was. What's the answer?
Well, I was thinking two, but maybe it's more. I don't.
Well, let me see if I can at least get three.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Brother Burt's going to help you. He's going to be your lifeline, Liz.
Okay. We know it was the Dead Sea.
We know about Moses.
The Jordan River.
And that's the one, the two that Liz was thinking about.
And the Jordan River.
The Red Sea, and then Joshua at the Jordan River.
And then Elijah and Elisha. Elijah parted it one time, and Elisha parted it again for at least four times.
Four times. Those are the ones that Brother Burt said. And my daughter, Casey James, gave me this answer.
Way to go, bro.
Liz, I'm right there with you. You always think, you know, Moses parting the sea and then Joshua parting the sea, but Elijah came through and did it. And when Elisha got that double portion, he went to the same exact spot. I think he took his took the cloak.
Yeah, he did.
And he kind of slapped it on the ground and the water parted and all the band of prophets went, wow, it's true. He got the anointing from Elijah.
He was testing that out. He said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And he hit and it parted.
Yeah.
I love the way the King James says it parted, hither and thither. Now, you can come up with more modern words, but it is not as poetic.
Hither and thither.
Yeah.
Liz, thank you for reading your Bible. What's your question for us?
I have something I want to read to you. A man left home running. He ran a ways and then turned left. He ran the same distance and turned left again. Then ran the same distance and turned left again. When he got home, there were two masked men. Who were they?
It was the umpire and it was the catcher.
Way to go, man.
That's great. I had no idea. I thought, man, I was talking about carjacking in New York City. Maybe this was maybe he was getting carjacked.
You put Ed right back in Boston where the little kids can't even have a lemonade stand where they're getting robbed.
That's right.
And I saw him rounding first and going to second and coming around third. Liz, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Have a great weekend.
What do you want to do, Ed?
Let's go ahead with another one.
Okay, let's go to Texas. Doug, thank you for calling. Do you want to ask, answer, or both? Doug, make sure you turn your radio off. Go ahead, Doug.
He's already answered my two.
Okay, which one you want to take home?
It's off.
Okay, which question you want to answer? Okay, right. Doug, we lost him. Sorry about that.
Doug. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go ahead and reset our questions before the break. When we come back after the break, we can go right back to the phones.
Okay, here's the one I have left over in my first three. What is the difference in a graveyard and a cemetery? And then, the second question, how many states have two time zones within its borders? How many states have two time zones within its borders? And I'm going to throw this one in. It's 250 years. So it's,
well, now, you're going to have multiple choice on that one?
Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. How many states, two time zones with borders? 7, 14, or 21. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
And here's the third question. What is the oldest active professional musical band in the United States?
Wow.
What is the oldest active professional musical band in the United States? In other words, it started then, and it's still going on. And I'll just give a hint. It's not rock and roll or pop.
That'd help.
Okay? It really is not. And
this is an American band.
American band.
Good.
Really is.
All right. I've had two questions answered, so I am going to add one in addition to one of my original questions that I have remaining. I'm going to pull a Tim. It's a Tim Wildman.
Go save the
Yeah, I'm going to save as many
questions
as I can. All right, first question that I have left over. The ancient Greek poet Homer, not Homer Simpson, folks. I mean, this is an actual Greek poet, wrote about the Trojan War in what two famous books? Many of you probably read these books in high school. And here's the question I'm going to add. I hope I can pronounce this correctly. St. John's College in Maryland has an axolotl as a mascot. What is an axolotl? All right, you may have to look that up. It is spelled A-X-O-L-O-T-L. What is an axolotl?
I found one at a yard sale one time, but that's a longer story than I got time for. Here's what I've got, true or false, a porcupine's teeth are blue. Is that true or false? Second question, Alan Thicke played the TV dad on Growing Pains. Name his character. Who's the TV dad on Growing Pains? Thinking about Father's Day in the cartoon Bluey. Who is Bingo and Bluey's dad? What is the name of Bingo and Bluey? And I've heard you say this before. That dad offers a lot of good advice, a lot of fun. Even though it's a cartoon, he's a great dad.
Yeah, and my grandkids love that show. All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. You're listening to Trivia Friday on the American Family Radio Network. We hope you will return and join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.